Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
I want to kind of explain what happened near the end of worship. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and one is tongue and an interpretation. Well, actually, that's two. That's not one. One is a tongue, one is interpretation. And the Bible tells us at times the Lord will bring a prophetic word through a language that we don't know, and someone will get the interpretation. Now, if you notice, at one point it got kind of quiet in the room, and someone began to give a loud tongue. And then someone had the interpretation. They came up to me and they told me they had the interpretation, and I gave them the microphone and they shared the interpretation. You remember that? Anybody catch that part of the service? Yeah? No? Yeah. Did you feel the presence of God when that happened? Okay, that's generally the very first confirmation that it's actually a tongue and an interpretation. The weighty presence of God will be on it. And the Bible says that's a evidence to those who may not know Him. It's an evidence that He's speaking, that He's here. That He's alive. And so we had a tongue, and this was perfectly in order. And what's kind of funny about this church is very prophetic. And so what happens in this church used to happen to me a lot before I was in full-time ministry. I would get the interpretation before the tongue came. And I would share it, and then the tongue would come, and then it'd kind of be anticlimactic. And so Courtney began singing a song. Right? Prophetic song. And I was like, Courtney, you're messing it up because you're giving the interpretation. We haven't got the tongue yet. But that... I joke when I say you messed it up. You didn't mess up anything. So she started singing the second half of the tongue before the tongue came. And then the tongue came, and then we got the first half of the interpretation. So does that make sense? So we had the second half of the interpretation. We had the tongue. Then we had the first half of the interpretation. And it really was the Lord is coming, which is good. That's good right there. I'm happy with that word. I settle for that. That's good. The Lord is coming. Amen. And so the word was the Lord has come. And then there was a picture of a river. And literally people would be caught up in this river of God's presence that comes from heaven. And she was singing about the river. We need your river, your river, right? Yes. And so that was kind of the tongue and the interpretation. So if you didn't understand what was happening, you're like, I haven't seen that in church before. I don't know what to say. We see it in the Bible, so we just believe it. Amen. And there's a lot of other stuff in the Bible that we see that's very strange. But we want it because it's in the Bible. Make sense?
Yes.
We're not going to pervert the Bible to reflect our life. We're going to try to conform our life to the Word of God. Right?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
And so that was a good word, right? So I would receive that prophetic tongue for my life if I were you. Just, Jesus is coming. Look busy. Right? Isn't that what they say? He's... Mimi had was it a vision?
It was a vision.
It was a vision that she had on Friday that she shared with us. It was at intercession. And it was... Who was that intercession? That was pretty good, right? Chris wasn't at intercession.
No.
Can I tell you something that happened at intercession on Friday? If you weren't there? Faith came in the room for people to receive the ability to see into the spirit realm. And so we had people lay hands on other people who instantly began to see angels in the room. And it happened for everybody who didn't see him before. And every single person began to see the angelic activity, right?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
They don't always look like you think. You know, they're not little fat babies with wings. They're not. Believe it or not, they're not fat babies with wings.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
They're
have you seen
not.
Fat babies with wings? I haven't
no,
personally.
No, I have not.
Has anybody seen a fat baby with wing angel other than in a painting? Has that ever happened to anybody in the room? Right? No. Have you seen angels?
I have.
No fat baby with wings?
No fat baby with wings. They're actually very big and tall.
Well, you see the big ones.
Yes.
I've seen little ones. I've seen shorter ones that were very silly and playful, but they didn't have wings. Normally the ones that I see with wings are like the authoritarian ones, like the
scary.
Well, the fear of the Lord ones on
yes.
them. You look at them, you're like, oh goodness. You know? You see those. See, you see the fat baby with wings and when you read the... When you read the when people come in contact with those authoritative angels in Scripture, it always freaks them out, right? Like people instantly think they're going to die, and the angel has to say, "Peace, it's okay, I'm not," right? And you're like, you see a fat baby with wings, that's not scary, right? you see like a 30-foot angel staring at you like, but no joke, like, oh gosh, it's been a good life. Wish I'd have run up the credit cards a little bit before I...
I'm joking.
But anyways, so we prayed for one another to see into the spirit realm, and many people, I believe, saw that. But also, you had a vision earlier. I feel the presence. You feel the presence of God?
Yes.
You feel the presence, Mikey? You feeling it? Yeah? You're just smiling. I need an answer. I don't. Yeah? Okay, good. Maybe he was talking to me in thoughts, thinking we're just in the spirit realm, and I'm just getting it. But I wasn't. I need oral language. Go ahead. So, Mimi got a... I'm feeling... Is anybody else feeling the anointing, or is it just on the stage right now? Because you feel it's thick, yeah? I'm getting fried up here. Go ahead.
Okay, so Friday night, right before we began praying...
I want you to see it, so when you share it, you can see it. You saw the fear of the Lord last week, didn't you?
Yes.
It was like a beam from heaven, right?
Yes. That was something else.
Okay, that was something else. Go ahead.
Okay, so Friday night...
You know, there's visitors like, what am I doing here? What is happening right now? And when does this end? No, go ahead.
It was Friday night. We were... right before we began praying, there was a small group of the worship team. And I saw a glory cloud... like hovering over the worship team.
Now, was it over the whole team or just the bass player? Just that.
it was around the whole team. It was pretty big.
All right.
So yeah, I saw a huge glory cloud over the whole worship team. And as I kept looking, I had a vision of about three or four doors that swung open, and the glory of God just rushed out onto the people that were standing in front of those doors. And the people walked into the rooms, and there was kind of like a window that you could see into the other side, and there was even more of the glory of God on the other side. And God allowed those people to walk. Okay, so He allowed the people to walk on this golden street or pathway or road, however you want to see it, and the angels were bowing down to God, and He was sitting far off on His throne, and there was angels rejoicing, and the peace of God was everywhere. And I felt like God wanted us as a church to encounter His peace the same way that it is in heaven, but here on earth. Amen.
That's a good word, right?
Yes.
Good. That's a pretty good word, right?
Yes.
How old are you, Mimi?
22.
Been walking with God how long?
About 3 years.
How many of you have been walking with God longer than 3 years and are mad that a 22-year-old walking with God 3 years got that vision? Does that upset anybody in the room? That kind of stuff used to irritate me pretty bad.
Oh, my God.
Because clearly I was more deserving. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Gosh.
All right, Robin. Robin is serving in Revival Kids Junior. They're fine, though. We put on a video, so they're... No, we had somebody take over for her. We gave them juice boxes and videos, and they'll be...
Hey, we're with them.
How you doing?
Good.
She's feeling good. She's bringing it back to the earth right now. How you feeling?
Good.
Everybody say hi to Robin. Robin shared a vision that she had. Was it a vision, or what was it?
It was a word.
It was a word you had. Yeah, okay. Why don't you share that with the... You need a Bible or no?
Well, I was visiting a few friends in Lakeland, and I was praying, and I got...
When did you get that? Was that recent, or when did you actually get the word?
It was...
was it last week?
A week.
Okay, so it wasn't like when you were away at school. It was in the last couple weeks.
No.
Excellent.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Last few weeks.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And then I heard the chapter in Ezekiel 10, so I sat down and I read it, and it was talking about...
How many of you know that's a good idea? When the Lord speaks a scripture to you, go ahead and look at it. He's not just speaking trivia. Go ahead.
And the title of it was The Glory of God Leaving the Temple. And at first I was like, that's not our church. But then as I read through it, it wasn't talking about God leaving them. It was talking about that there are angels standing, turning these wheels of fire. And there were coals in the wheels. And it said in the verse that it looked like it would burn our hands. But as the angels took them out, the angels handed it to, I believe it was Ezekiel who was speaking, and they were being scattered over the city. And I believe that was the word for our house. Like, the glory hasn't left our house, but the glory goes wherever we go. We are those burning coals.
Yeah, and the glory of the Lord went out from the threshold of the house. That's good. And they stood over the cherubim. Those are angels. I doubt they're fat little angels. What do you think? How would an angel even get fat?
They're not like us. I don't think they have that issue.
They don't have that problem, do they?
No.
So much glory. Thank you. Give it up for Robin, everybody. I have a message, and I'd like to get to it, but I'd like to acknowledge that God is talking to us first. Is that okay? Excuse me. It's very important that I share with you what the Lord is speaking to me for the house. It's more important that we focus on what God has spoken to us this morning. It's very important that I share what God is speaking to me for the house, but it's more important that we focus on what God is speaking to us this morning. Thank you. And I've been in too many meetings where the Lord speaks a word and everybody claps and they go on with the service. It's kind of like when the bill collector calls, you just don't take it, you just act like he didn't call. You know, like we're going to actually pay attention to God speaking to us. Does that make sense? We're going to actually pay attention to that. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like us to pray for one another. Can we do that? Can we pray? Two things. Number one, Jesus said he would come with a river this morning to us in a tongue and an interpretation. So I'd like us to pray, number one, that Jesus would come with a river in our lives. And number two, that the glory of God would be sent out of this house and begin to touch this city with his angels, with us. Is there any stand your feet real quick. We're going to be the body here for a moment. The Lord spoke to me very clearly last night before any of this happened. And he told me that that we need one another. And I'm going to talk about this in a little bit. And that we need the ministry of the body one to another. It's very important that we get the ministry we need from the elders and from those gifted. But we need one another. The church isn't one person and you listen to them. The church. So what I'd like you to do real quick is just release the presence of God upon one another right now. And let me help you pray, because this might sound weird to you. You didn't come to pray for anybody. You just wanted to get prayer. Just touch somebody's shoulder and say, just Father, come with your presence. Let your river of God, let your river of life flow in their life right now. Let your river flow right now. And let's do this. If you have sickness in your body, if there's anybody, I'm seeing tumors. If you have any kind of tumor in your body, any kind of mass, I don't know the word. It's like a mass, a lump of some sort. If you have anything like that in your body, we want to pray for you right now. Also, lower back pain right here. It's like right here. And it might even be shooting down your left leg right now. And actually, it's shooting down your left leg into the arch of your left foot. Who is that? Who is that with a back pain shooting down your left leg? Is that you? Oh, that's awesome. You're about to be healed. This is awesome. Put your hand up. Give me a couple people to pray for her as well there. If you just gather around. We get some people to gather around. And if you have a lump, a mass, anything like that, raise your hand. We want to get some people to pray for you to be healed. Who is that? Anybody in here? You don't have to tell them exactly what it is. Anybody in the room? You have a lump? You have? Oh, okay, over here on the right. Okay, you got that, Felipe? Okay, good. Anybody else? You have a lump, a mass, anything like that, tumor-type issue? Lord is good. Is that somebody back there? You? Yes? Yeah? Okay, back here over here on the right, we have a hand up. Keep your hand up until people come around you to pray. Now go ahead and pray right now in the name of Jesus, the fire of God landing upon you right now, the presence of the Holy Ghost being poured out in the room. Fire the Holy Ghost! Jesus! Oh, hey, we got a word of knowledge on anxiety. And my message is actually about that. So if you came in here very anxious, today's your day. Are you praying? I don't hear anybody praying. Let's go after this. Let's go after this. Let's pray. Let's act like our prayers might actually accomplish something. And let's just pray that the glory of the Lord invades our lives. your Holy Ghost, Jesus. Second row, come on. Second row, up and down the second row right now in the name of Jesus. Right now, up and down the second row. Right now, up and down the second row. From end to end, right now in the name of Jesus. The glory of the Lord, right now. The second row, right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. All right, you did good. How do you feel, people who got prayer who had an issue? How do you feel? You feeling good? How about in the back? Are you feeling anything happen back there? Burning? Burning's good. Did you receive prayer for something, or are you just burning? Just burning. There you go. More fire on you. Hallelujah. All right, you can be seated. How's the back? Did it feel better after we prayed? Would you feel, what happened? It's just gone. Can we give praise to Jesus for that? Yeah. Amen. Give it up for Mikey. If you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 John chapter 4. Father, we thank you for this offering. I pray that you would just bless it. You would bless it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen. 1 John. 1 John. Now, that's not the first John in the Bible, by the way. 1 John is at page 1023, if you got the right Bible. It's not the first John. Heard a testimony of a girl. Her father was in a Bible study. He was Jewish. And the daughter was so... gotten so radically saved that the father just wanted to honor his daughter, just to spend, to see what was going on in her life. And so he went to the Bible study and said, okay, next week we're going to go over 1 John, and so please read 1 John. And, you know, he went to the 1 John he found, which was the Gospel of John, read the whole Gospel of John and got saved before he got the end of it. That's pretty good, right? That's exciting to me. I don't know. Maybe I didn't tell the story right. I'll tell it again. And so her unsaved father read the whole book of John and got saved before he got to the end. Yeah, it's true. Salvation's good, right? Anybody glad you're not going to hell? Excellent. All right, 1 John chapter 4. Hey, I just want to share a couple things with you that the Lord has been speaking to me. And this is going to be kind of a major theme for our house over the next 6-8 months. I'm not exactly sure where we're going with it, but it has to do with the glory coming and what God is going to do in us in the midst of it. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 is where we're going to start. And this is John, the beloved of the Lord. He says, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. In this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And Father, we just thank you, and we just trust that you will bless the reading of your word today. And we pray, Lord, that you would unlock doors. And just as that vision came, Father, that you would unlock doors of glory for our lives. That you would open windows of heaven in our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen and amen. We've been talking about this a little bit, and I just want to ignite some faith in your heart. This morning, I want to, the couple things I want to see happen in this house in the next couple months. Number one, I want to see you coming into more power. It's my earnest prayer, it's my earnest desire that the glory that is on you, you would be able to take out of this house into the world. I want to see you walking in the power of God. The world deserves an encounter with God through you. Freely you've received, freely give. And I feel like God wants... I feel like there isn't more of God in this area because we have not been giving because we don't have a whole lot to give. Thanks. Appreciate that back there. That's good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In John, in this passage, he tells us, hey, listen, God is love. There's no fear in love. Fear involves punishment. What I want to do today is try to dismantle, destroy, absolutely take apart and disgrace your concept of punishment in relation to your relationship with Jesus, so that your relationship with one another can be healthy. Is that okay? Can I just have permission to absolutely harass your understanding of punishment today? Yeah, I'm just going to do that anyway because I don't have anything else to talk about right now. So we're going to go with that. Jesus, you know, the Bible says that Jesus took the sin of the world, right? And when he was on that cross, who remembers his last words? It is finished. Yes, it is finished. What was finished? Right before that, he said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." I had an issue recently, and I'm talking to an elder in my life. And I say to this elder, I'm not sure how to deal with this, man. You know, I got this governmental problem. I got this leadership issue. I got these things going on. I got to figure out how I'm doing that and how I'm doing this. And he says to me, you know, Carl, he called me Carl because he's an elder in my life. I'm not his pastor. We all need people like that. Amen. I'm not looking up to you. I'm now giving you counsel. Please, I can use it. And so I'm looking at this, how to deal with the things of life, how to deal with the structure of life, how to deal with relationships, how to deal, you know, leadership things to put people in. He says, you know, what you really need in this situation is to walk in complete forgiveness. I was like, that's not what I'm really looking for right now. That's not the advice I'm looking for. He says, well, let's look to Jesus. I'm like, why we got to go to Jesus? Come on, man. Jesus didn't deal with this. Come on, man. He says, when Jesus was on the cross, they had been murdering him, and he said, Father, forgive them. I was like, why we got to go to Jesus? Come on, man. I tell other people to be like Jesus. You don't tell me to be like Jesus. You sympathize with me, and you talk about how awful it is I have to deal with this stuff. You don't. And he begins to talk to me about, when we have a pure heart is when the grace of God can flow. We talk about this, that, you know, bitterness and gossip and hatred is like swallowing poison and hoping the other person dies. And it never affects them the way it affects you. When you're bitter and you gossip about people, it's only affecting you. But people who get very angry with me, I mean, when you step into ministry, when you begin to be that evangelistic voice in the people in your life, when you begin to share with them the truth of God's word, when you begin to tell them what righteousness is, all of a sudden they're confronted, they're into a mirror of righteousness, and they have to make a decision. Am I going to react to the truth or not? And if they're not going to react to the truth, what are they going to blame it on? And very rarely do people blame it on their love of sin. Very rarely, I think in all my years of ministry, I've had one person come up to me and say, hey, I've made a decision, and I've just chosen sin, and I'm going to walk away from God. And I was like, well, that's not a very good choice. That's a bad choice. That's not going to take you anywhere good, but okay. Everybody else says it's my fault that they're walking away from God. I mean, and I, can I just be real? You know, if you're a parent, you've lived through this. You've lived through this. Hey, you can't go outside looking crazy like that. Oh, Dad. Like, okay, we don't live like that. You're not Honey Boo Boo. This is crazy, you know? We own shoes. We're not. It's not my fault, you know. I'm bringing the truth that you look crazy. I didn't make you look crazy. I'm the solution. I'm letting you know, right? And so if you're a parent, you're used to people blaming their problems on you. Oh, why can't you buy me that $900 whatever? Number one, because I don't got $900. And number two, if I had it, I'd buy myself more clothes. I wouldn't waste it on that. You know what I'm saying? Oh, Dad. I don't know what to tell you. This is reality. You're now encountering reality. And Jesus says, listen, these people got problems. And in order to get this thing right, you have to be a clean conduit of grace in their lives. We're to be a clean conduit of grace in the lives of the world who don't know Jesus. And that's an easy one. We know not to get offended with lost people who try to persecute us. We know that. We know that just because someone is demonized and they come after us, we can't then judge them and call down fire on them. Yes? I mean, we should get to that point where we're not praying that God kill people in our lives or declaring curses over them. You with me? What's a little more challenging is when a Christian lets you down. What's a little more challenging is when a family member lets you down. You see, we put a lot of hope in people who are close to us. And it's easy when a stranger lets us down. It's easy when someone we don't know or we expected very little from doesn't do what we want them to do. How do we react when somebody that we love and care and we have an esteem for lets us down? Now we find out what's really on the inside of us. You see, if you get a tube of toothpaste, you don't know what it looks like inside unless they put like a little drawing on the outside, right? You don't know what's in there. You don't know what's in there until you squeeze it. When you apply pressure to it, then you see what's inside of it because it comes out. Well, how do you react when you get squeezed? How do you react when unrighteousness manifests around you? How do you react when you get disappointed? How do you react when you're betrayed? How do you react when something you counted on to happen doesn't happen? What comes out of you? Bitterness? Judgment? Do you want to punish the people around you? Do you want to let them know how much they hurt you and make them hurt a little bit so they can understand what you're going through? What comes out of you? Love? What comes out? Because you don't know what's in you until you get squeezed. See, when you got money, when you're rich, when you got everything you want and life is, don't you hate people who just, oh, life is so wonderful. Yeah, because you're rich and your kids look good and you got your house and you don't even got a job and your husband makes it. Oh, of course life is good. Get squeezed a little bit. Get squeezed a little bit. Let a little sickness visit your family. Who do you get angry at? God? Now, when you're at the wedding chapel and you're standing here and I'm before two people and there's a dude on one side and there's a girl on the other. Actually, it's on the other way around. And he's got rented clothes on, probably the nicest he's ever going to dress for her. And she got an expensive dress on, probably the last time he's going to let her buy a dress that expensive. All these people showed up to look at them. They're the center of attention. Anything they want happens. And it's a beautiful day right there. They got a cake waiting for them, a whole band waiting to play for them. Everything's awesome. They love each other. Can't wait to spend the rest of their lives together. We're going to go on a honeymoon, come back, open gifts. Life is awesome. Then the honeymoon happens. Then they come home. Maybe open the gifts. I don't know. Then they say, baby, what's for dinner? She says, I don't know what's for dinner. Just kind of thought, you know, we'd eat in. Oh, yeah, what you making? Whoa, kind of thought you would make something there. What was I supposed to make? I don't know, a steak or something? You see a steak in the fridge? No steak in the fridge, actually. Oh, you want me to go grocery shopping too? Maybe we'll go out. Okay. Let's go get some lobster. Okay. Wow. Now we got a little pressure in the relationship. Right? Who knows what I'm talking about? Now we got a little pressure in the relationship. And what starts to come out of the relationship when there's pressure? Whatever's inside comes out. Jesus talked about this. He warned us, and the apostles saw this thing happening. Listen, I want you to love God, and the way you're going to work out love is how you treat one another. How you work out love is how you treat one another. How love is perfected is how you treat one another. And that's why in this house, we just come against the nonsense that people don't need a church. How are you going to work out love? How are you going to... There's a reason that they require people to have a public ceremony to get married. Because now everybody says, hey, I saw you give your word that you're going to walk through good times and bad. What are you going to do when it turns bad? You got to explain to everybody. You got to do that march of shame. Well, yeah, I said that, but I didn't, you know, it didn't really work out, so I just quit. We had the frequently asked questions series, and I talked about abusive relationships and how it's never God's desire for a woman to stay in an abusive relationship. And I got some pushback from some people, believe it or not. I got some people who came to me and said, hey, I've seen God heal those relationships. I've seen God that were abusive, that God came in and people healed it in the marriage. And I say, yes, that can absolutely happen. Absolutely happen. And that is absolutely God's best. And if I didn't emphasize that enough, I apologize. I've seen marriages where there was no love, where there was infidelity, that people repented and came to Christ, and God completely healed the marriage. My point was, you don't have to stay in an abusive relationship. Get out. That was my point. But it is God's desire that through repentance, he can heal the relationship. But without repentance, it can't be healed. Without repentance, all you have is one person saying, this is what you can expect from me, this level of covenant. And if you like it, you'll stay with me. And if you don't, too bad for you. Then I can blame it on you for leaving me. It's your fault that you wouldn't be in this relationship. I have set the bar right here. Here's what you can expect from me. You can expect no more. You know what that is, friends? That's manipulation. I will hold your emotions hostage. And if you don't cater to my feelings, I'll blame you for my lack of happiness. That's manipulation. That's not the love God wants us to show one another. How do we know that? Let's go back to our scripture. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because he, as he is, so also we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Next sentence. 1 John 4:18, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Manipulation says, if you don't make me happy, I punish you. How do you punish? I let you know it's your fault I'm unhappy. I want you to feel the pain that I'm feeling. That's manipulation. If you don't do what I want you to do, then I'm going to be sad and it's your fault and I'm going to let you know about it. Now, don't be offended what I'm about to say. I grew up in a Catholic family. Manipulation does not work on me. I smell it a way, long way off. And no offense if your heart is Catholic or you grew up in the Catholic Church, but Catholicism is largely based on the fact that you've done something wrong and now God is very sad. And if you don't do these things, he'll never forgive you. And as a matter of fact, he may punish you. But that's not what our Bible teaches us. Our Bible teaches us that when we receive Christ Jesus as our Savior, his wrath has been satisfied. And now we can enter boldly into his presence. This is good news. So how do we deal with one another when this punishment, this fear and this punishment has been taken away? Okay, God says, listen, I'm not going to punish you for the things you do wrong. Whoa, Pastor, you're saying it's okay to sin? No, absolutely not. Clearly not what I'm saying. What I am saying, though, is when you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who lets you be forgiven and come into his presence. And so Jesus makes a bold declaration based on this scripture, based on this truth. He says, here's how you pray. And then he says, as you forgive others, your Father will forgive you. If you don't forgive, your Father won't forgive you. So when you see people who want to retain the sins of other people, we know that love has not been perfected in them. And I can't be manipulated by people's lack of love. You see, God's love has been perfected in me to a certain extent that I don't need it out of people. Does that make sense? I'm not saying I don't need people, but I'm saying I'm not so broken and wounded and hurt that your rejection of me makes me go into a tailspin of depression. When people try to manipulate me by withholding their love, I say, Lord, perfect love in them. I thank you, Lord, that your love is more than enough for me. You hear what I'm saying? Okay, this is going to make sense, and some people are going to get free. If we back up in 1 John 4:10, is this landing on anything here? It says in 1 John 4:10, he says, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation, big word right there, right? I don't think it's used anywhere else other than the church, propitiation. I doubt it is. That is the sacrifice that brings atonement. He is the propitiation. The sacrifice that brings atonement. Atonement is a made-up word. It was a made-up word because when they were translating the Bible, there was no word for it in English. So they made it up, and it meant at one moment. The moment you become one with God. At one moment. Atonement. You getting that? Atonement, the moment you become one with God. So there was a sacrifice of Jesus, that we receive that sacrifice, we become one with God. Now, if I am one with God, I've never been so mad at my foot, I told it, if you don't heal, I'm cutting you off. I'll show you, I will cut off this foot to let you know you should stop causing me pain. That's ridiculous, yes? And I've never had a newborn baby, and you know, they can be loud. And that's why God makes them so cute. And I've never said to a newborn baby, if you don't stop crying, I'm going to stop feeding you. That's we call that abuse, right? What father does that? No good father does that. Those fathers go to jail, right? Yet many of us, that's how we look at God, our heavenly father. If I keep messing up, he's going to cut me off from his love and destroy me. And John's letting us know this is not the relationship we have with the father. God is not, he's not walking around with a big fat Bible ready to thump us on the head as soon as we make a mistake. See, his love is so much more mature than our love. We don't understand his love. His love says, listen, dummy. If you stop doing that, your life will be better. I'm still here. Isn't it amazing in the midst of your sin when you cry out to him, he talks to you? Have you noticed that? And I've never heard God talk to me like he's pouting. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like you get in a fight with your spouse, you know, like they did you dirt. And you're like, oh, yeah, well, you know. Yeah, I hear you saying I'm sorry, but how do I know? What about that steak, you know? I've never heard God talk to me like that. I've never heard God say, oh, yeah, you yelled at that person. You want me to forgive you, but what about maybe a triple tithe? You know, he's never said that to me. Right? If you really love me, I don't know, maybe you move to, you know, Africa. I don't know. I'm just saying I could use people in Africa. He don't talk to me like that. Does he talk to you like that? No, he's like, oh, man, that was dumb. All right, come on, let's try some more. You ever, like, come to God just waiting for him to, like, tell you how disappointed he is in you? He's like, man, I love you. That's awesome. Like, no, clearly you don't understand what I did. And, like, you got to convince him how bad you are. No, you don't get it. I did this again. He's like, yeah, I know. That was dumb. Come on, I just love you. Let's just cuddle. You're like, what do you mean cuddle? I deserve to be punished. I'll stop eating. I deserve to be hurt right now. I'll just take everything happy out of my life. Will that make you happy? You're like, not really. If it makes you feel better, I guess, but I'm not requiring any of that of you. What do you mean? I was terrible. And I was pretty dumb, but, you know, I've forgiven you. I don't know if you heard that part back there. Okay, I'll get rid of my car and all my friends. Like, oh, well, okay. But I've forgiven you already. You know what I mean? Like, we try to convince him how bad we are. Let's change the roles with you and another person. I do something wrong to you, and we get in an argument that what I did wasn't that big a deal. Come on, bro, you told me you would do this, and you didn't do it. Well, I didn't exactly promise you that, you know. And you know how you always, you know, whatever, and come on, man, it's your fault I didn't do it anyways. You always, come on, you should have done it anyways. I mean, come on, man. Oh, and let it be a marriage. Oh, you remember 5 years ago when you did something very similar. Oh, yeah, you remember, Tracy and I had a conversation just like this, didn't we, not too long ago. I was like, oh, and you remember that time you did that. She was like, that was 11 years ago. I was like, you think I forgot, huh? Oh, no. And the Lord remembers. And there will be an accounting. It's like 11 years ago. She's like, and it wasn't even wrong when I did it then. I said, aha, no repentance. That's why the grace is being withheld in your life. There can be no healing until there's repentance. Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny? Like, we got a special relationship with God. He forgives me instantly. And the other people, oh, I'm here to let them know what they need to do to be forgiven. Thank you, Jesus, they have me in their life. Otherwise, they'd all think they're right with God. Clearly. Clearly, they're not. They need me. Thank you, Jesus, for me. Right? Good Lord, I'm a gift. Probably Ephesians 4, all five gifts right there. I'm so anointed. Watch out there now. I am the prophet of God in your life. Thus saith me. So how do you, there's this, I talk about this power struggle that we have. And we feel like if other people get too much grace, we won't get enough. Or if other people get too much forgiveness, then we won't be recognized for the righteousness that we earned through our efforts. You can't get what I got. Look what I did to get it. You clearly haven't done what I've done. So, yeah, well, we forgive you, but, you know, we won't restore you fully. You know, our relationship's not fully restored because God's grace does this much, and then you must do this much for me to fully forgive you. Is that your relationship with God today? Let's be honest. What stuff in your life are you trying to work out forgiveness for? Now, listen, if you got sin, stop it. If you got sin that you have a hard time stopping, you need to talk to somebody. If you don't like talking to somebody because you feel like nobody is spiritual enough, you need to repent of that first. That's pride. And that pride is an open door for the very sin that you're battling, probably. And that's wicked. It's just evil. The enemy's at work in your life. Repent of your pride so that you can be healed. Okay? And then let the grace come in so that you can walk in grace. See, so many of us are trapped in our sin because we don't have the grace needed to overcome it because we don't honor the people around us who have an anointing to help us get over that sin. We're afraid that if we tell somebody about this thing that we're dealing with, they won't look at us as spiritual as we look at us, and all of a sudden, we'll be at the wrong end of the power struggle. Does that make sense? I regularly have people confess sin to me. I'm a pastor. That happens. And then they're absolutely shocked that I don't spank them or whip them or publicly shame them, make them step down from leadership, make them step down from... Now, you know, there's sins that you just need to, you know, just take some time to get right. And the Bible tells us clearly there's certain things that if you have in your life, you can't be an elder until you get it worked out. But the list is pretty short. When we're talking about personal sanctification, it's amazing how the enemy beats you up over little personal sanctification issues. Attitudes and habits that you have a hard time overcoming that you think disqualify you from the grace of God. It's almost as if when you got saved, you were wicked, right? Anybody not wicked when they got saved? No. You were wicked. And then, like, that sacrifice runs out once you receive Jesus, because now that you recognize he's Jesus, you no longer need his grace. I'm not saying it's okay to sin. Sin is wrong. We should be perfect as our God is perfect. The Bible tells us. But the Bible also tells us that there's sin. And we have an advocate with the Father, not a judge. It says once to die and then the judgment, and it will be judged upon what we've done in reaction to what Christ has told us to do. Okay, you hear me? And what the enemy wants to do is put such judgment in us that we reject the grace that's in each other's life. Because the Bible says when they became in one accord, the Holy Ghost came. And the enemy is working to separate and to come against the unity of the body. This is why the Apostle Paul said, listen, don't receive an accusation against an elder unless there's two or three witnesses. Why? Because it absolutely destroys the grace of God in your life. We need grace. We need fathers and mothers in our life to say, listen, son, and this is what I've been praying over this church. We have so many young believers in this house. I'm just praying that fathers and mothers will rise up in this house and say, listen, son, yeah, I know what you did. It was really, really, really stupid. That was bad. You messed it up bad this time. You made bad decisions. You didn't get counsel before you did it. You crashed and burned. This could have been avoided. But guess what? I've been through worse. I'm here to let you know I'm still standing. When you're 9, 10, 11, the worst things in the world can happen to you. And your parents will be like, yeah, you'll get over it. You know, yeah, it's all right. Get up. It'll be all right. You're like, do you understand what happened? I was walking by the bus and I fell down. Uh-huh. And they saw me. Uh-huh. And you got up? Yes. Hello. Uh-huh. It's not that big a deal. just go on with your life. You'll get over this. And so many of us in our walk, it's the same way. Do you understand? God told me not to do this and I did it? Yeah, did you repent? Oh, yeah, but okay, what's the problem? Well, didn't you hear what I said? Yeah, I heard what you said. What's the problem? You repented? Yes, don't do it anymore. Okay. Set up some accountability in your life. Get some people that you confess this thing to. Get some little oversight in this area of your life and move on and fulfill the call of God in your life. Move forward. Move forward. Don't look to the things behind. Don't look at, yeah, I used to battle with that, but I'm not allowing that to hold me back anymore. He says, listen, you got to get rid of the sin and the weight that so easily ensnares you. It's like some of you keep staring at your sin and your problems and your weight. So it's like you're walking around with like a bear trap on one foot and it's hard for you to get anywhere because you're just constantly looking back at that thing that ensnared you 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. At some point, you have to say, okay, the punishment I'm expecting is not coming. It's just not coming. So I'm going to stop expecting it. I'm just going to run after Jesus. The Bible calls Abraham the father of faith. Amazing thing happened to Abraham. In Genesis, the Bible says that the Lord talked to Abraham. And he told him, hey, listen, Abraham, get up out of your family's dwelling, leave them, and go to a land that I will show you. Fear tells you you can't do anything God tells you until you're absolutely assured that it's going to work. Because if I get it wrong, I'll be punished by the people around me, by their mocking. I'll come up short of my provision. I can't do what God is telling me to do unless I'm absolutely sure that it's going to work out this time. I'm going to stay here in my safe little hole because if I get it wrong, I might be punished. And it's a snare that's holding back the church. Abraham just said, listen, I don't know what's ahead, but I know I can't look behind to where I was. I got to look forward to where God is calling me. And the Bible says he went out and became the father of faith. In 1 Kings chapter 19, we learn of a man named Elisha. And Elisha is anointed to be the next prophet of Israel. And Elisha goes to Elijah and he says, listen, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm the man. I've come to be whatever it is that God told me to be. I want you to hear this. Elisha was a wealthy man. Elisha had a lot of land, and he had a lot of oxen, and he was pulling massive, massive, massive plows. I believe the Bible said he had 12 yoke of oxen. That means he had a plow so big it took 24 ox to pull it. That's a big plow. Tells me two things. Tells me that here was not a poor man. Here was a wealthy man. Number two, here's a man who was fixed on his goal. If I had to get a plow so big that it took 24 ox to pull it, I might find new land. He was breaking some hard ground, but we find out that Elisha was a man who was determined. And he goes and he sees Elijah, and Elijah says, all right, come on, follow me. I'm going to disciple you. Elisha went back to where he came from. Why? The Bible tells us in 1 Kings 19:21, he says, and he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen. He literally took that wooden thing that holds the ox together. He made a fire out of it. And he took them oxen, and this probably was work in and of itself, and threw them on the fire. How are you going to move 24 ox? That's a man who's determined right there, all right? Just catching 24 ox and killing them with some work. But he cooked them on the fire, all right? And he says, and he took the flesh of the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. What does that tell me? That tells me Elijah said, look, no turning back for me. I'm not turning back to that anymore. Okay, that was my provision back then. It made me feel better that everybody liked me, but the Lord has healed my heart. I'm not going back to that old mind frame I used to have. When it comes, I'm rejecting. No, nothing back there for me. Who were you before Christ? Did you get your feelings fixed by punishing people around you? When you did things that were stupid, did it make you start feeling better when you let people punish you? Do you feel like there was a certain amount of penance you had to do in order to get forgiven? Oh, I did something wrong. I feel really bad. Now I have to make everybody food. Or I have to beg for forgiveness. Or I have to buy something. Or I have to be sitting in the corner for a while. What is it you feel you deserve when you mess up? Until you're willing to say, no, Jesus Christ is my sacrifice. I'm not going back to my old provision. Until you're willing to say that, you're going to be stuck in that cycle of manipulation. People could be manipulating you. You could be allowing the enemy to manipulate you. Your own emotions can manipulate you. Your family can be manipulating you. Jesus, God had to say to Abraham, listen, you got to leave your family to get where you're going. Sometimes it's the people closest to you who lead you away from the grace of God. And you got to be willing to say, as much as I'm getting from this relationship, it's not the grace of God. I have to leave this place, make myself vulnerable, put myself in a place that I could be greatly hurt, and trust that God is going to minister to my need. Listen, in the old days, if you missed a harvest, you're hungry that winter. You understand? It's not like you just go to Publix and buy more food. Your harvest goes bad. You have no food that winter. Elisha said, listen, I'm wiping all this out. I'm not going back. I'm going forward with what God had me. I'm going forward with what God has for me. But we stay trapped in the same cycles of manipulation and punishment. Listen, some of you just have bad friends in your lives. You have bad relationships. They're just bad relationships with people who don't care about you. Can I just be honest with you? I see you stuck in these cycles of relationships. And I just want to say, hello, I love you. Please stop being stupid. This calamity that you're worried about would be the greatest thing that ever happened to you. If this relationship fell apart, I would rejoice. If this job that you're holding on to so dearly fell through, I would give thanks to Jesus because it's holding you back from what God has. If this ministry opportunity that you have doesn't work out, I might give a greater offering to Jesus because there's nothing good in it. But we hold on to these things that are like a yoke of slavery. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? Am I touching anything right now? Because I have a message. It's nothing that I've talked about today, but I just really feel like this is the Holy Ghost talking. I really feel like the Lord wants to come in His glory. And I believe He wants to come in His presence. And I believe He wants to give a measure of authority to us. But He wants to give us this measure of authority so we could share His forgiveness and His blessings to the earth. And we got to be healed up in our hearts to do that. We got to be at a place where I say, my joy is not contingent upon how you treat me. My joy is not contingent upon how much money I have. My joy is not contingent upon how people receive me. My joy is not contingent upon my circumstances. My joy is contingent upon the fact that God says, I am forgiven and I am complete in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. That is who I am. What that person thinks about me is not who I am. Listen, you start walking in that revelation. I dare you. You start walking in that revelation. And the person comes up to you to manipulate you, and you are not moved. Oh, it gets them upset. I get a very unclean satisfaction from that. Can I be honest with you? And people come at me sideways. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Nah, you got that all wrong. I won't give in to your manipulation. Sorry. I'm sorry. I know you're used to controlling people around you, but it's not going to work on me. Sorry. I love you. I see what you're trying to do, and I won't allow it. And if you'll receive me for who I am, you'll get free. But what you're offering, I don't want. I got a better version of it from Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? Anybody hear what I'm saying? When we can walk clean like that, we won't use the anointing to manipulate the people around us. And we won't think that when we start operating in miracle signs and wonders, that we're more accepted by God because of that. And we won't turn our gifts into an idol. And we won't become self-righteous in our power. So God wants us to be whole right here where we're at in middle school. Right here in the cafeteria of a middle school. I'm perfectly okay in Christ Jesus for who we are right here. Church of about 100 folks in middle school. Lord, I declare that you are good and everything you do is awesome. Right here with our worship team. Right here on a little portable stage. I'm okay. I'm complete in Christ. Well, Pastor, when y'all going to get a building? I don't know. I ain't even thinking about that. You got one to give me? No? Well, you know. Hey, Pastor, how many people in your church? Everyone God sends. You looking for a church? No, I'm pleased in who he is. I'm well pleased in my sins being forgiven. And I just refuse to be manipulated to make someone else feel good about our relationship. Are you here on that? So I want to pray this morning. I hope you got something out of that. I want to pray this morning. I want to pray two things. And probably more, but I'm working up here. I'm sweating. I don't know what's happening. Number one, I want to pray for people who are being manipulated because I hate it. 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 Manipulation's like emotional rape. I'm exerting my power over you to give me pleasure. I hate it. Absolutely hate it. When I confront it in people, they either repent or they manifest wildly. Because I hate it. Hate it, hate it, hate it. Did I mention that? I hate it. Hate it, hate it, hate it. It's wicked, it's witchcraft. I hate it. And so if you feel like you are prone to being manipulated, controlled by your emotions, that's what manipulation is, being controlled by your emotions, by an outside force. An outside force controls you by your emotions. Manipulation. I want to pray that you just see that thing clearly and you get free. That you get free in the name of Jesus. Number two, I want to pray that we be a people with a clean heart who carry the power of God in South Florida. Whew. So I don't want to call anybody out, so let's all stand to our feet. Give me a little more key here if you don't mind. Hallelujah. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's just welcome the presence of Jesus right now. And some of you are going to get healed in your heart just as you're praying right now. Hallelujah. 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 Woo. Hallelujah. If you're visiting, don't leave because it's about to get very good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray over our hearts first, shall we? Let's all pray this together. Say, Father, Heal my heart. Make it clean. Teach me to walk in forgiveness. Teach me to love like you love. I declare today that I cannot be offended. I declare today that I'm not going to punish people to make me feel better. Father, perfect love in me. Father, heal my rebellion. Heal my independent spirit. Let me see that I need the people around me. Let me see how the enemy is trying to rob me of that. Thank you, Lord, for people with other gifts. Now listen, we're going to forgive the people who try to manipulate us. We're going to do it together, okay? Like a group therapy session. Y'all ready? You ready? You have to forgive them. That's the only way you get the power back. You don't get the power back by yelling at them or telling them how terrible they are or trying to punish them. That's not how you get the power back. You get the power back by forgiving them. You don't have to allow this to happen anymore. You can, doesn't work on me. Very satisfying words when you tell a manipulator, your manipulation won't work on me. It's a good feeling. If you don't yell it, you just say, sorry, manipulation won't work on me. Sorry. It's a good feeling. I pray that you all get to walk in that. But we're going to begin forgiving people that we've allowed to manipulate us, okay? You ready? Father, forgive me for allowing myself to be manipulated. Forgive me for thinking I needed that person so much that I allowed myself to be manipulated. I'm well able to control myself, and you're well able to make me feel secure. So right now, I receive your security. I receive who you call me. I only look to you. And we forgive those who tried to manipulate us. We forgive those who put their needs above ours. We forgive those for not looking out for us. I want you to see them and just declare forgiveness over them right now. Just look at them and say, I forgive you. And I release you of that sin. This is wild. I wasn't planning any of this. You got to look at them and say, I forgive you and I release you from that. You owe me nothing. Just as Jesus Christ has forgiven me totally, I forgive you totally. I won't let you do that again, but I completely forgive you. Come on, let's say it. Father, I take responsibility for my life. I take ownership over my relationships. I'll blame nobody else for bad relationships. I'm well able to manage my relationships. Is anybody getting free right now? Well, I'm saying, is anybody getting free? Is anybody getting ministry right now? But now when you get free, you need filled, right? After you get free, you need filled. So let's ask the Holy Ghost to fill us afresh. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Jesus, baptize us. Jesus, you are the baptizer. Jesus.